This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. Time Academy, written by Toshiya Okamoto, translated by Toshiya Kame, performed by Chris Herron. The strong, constant wind lashed over the hill. Regardless of the season, the wind never ceased to blow over the fortress in the deep valley. Yet the wind lulled for a few moments in the morning and the evening. Then several columns of smoke rose from inside the fortress walls. The trainees were cooking their choice of food. It was against the rules, but they could use a break once in a while. Jay stood on a retaining wall and cast his gaze toward the pillars of smoke. "Peaceful, isn't it?" Jay said.
"You could say that. No sign of trouble anywhere," Lenny mumbled a few feet away.
Although the building was called a fortress, it was no longer capable of repelling enemy attacks. It was deserted, half buried in the sand. Even though the trainees learned about it in class, they lacked deep knowledge of such a structure. Now, the fortress housed the agency's training center. Jay served as chief instructor. Jay and Lenny once studied at the academy. Although they represented a small fraction, all the instructors were alumni. This was the only educational institute for humans. Anyone appointed as an instructor ended up here by default. When he learned of his assignment after graduation, Jay was relieved and disappointed at the same time. His tasks at the academy never went beyond making predictions. He never dealt with anything unknown. Jay's tribe played no role in the founding of the academy. While the exact date remained unknown, the agency built it several generations ago. The fortress preceded it. But the history of the academy wasn't part of their curriculum. Jay placed his hand on the eroded stone wall and imagined the long-gone past.
"Let's enjoy ourselves while we can," Jay said. "Once we're out of here, we can forget about having a good time. Unpleasant tasks await us outside."
"If we follow the agency's regulation, every event must be fair," Lenny said, waving the smoke away.
"There he goes again," Jay felt irritated.
Strictly speaking, the agency had no written rules. All agents did was follow orders. When they received instruction, they tacitly carried out the task as assigned. Even so, listening to Lenny's complaints had been part of his job description. Instructors, too, needed to get things off their chest.
"What does fair mean?" Jay began.
"Well, it just means every event is equal. To begin with, our agents are assigned to do a task contradictory to human nature."
"I don't know about the contradictory part," Lenny answered. "You shouldn't be so dismissive."
"That's beside the point," Jay continued.
"Think of it as a matter of mere probabilities. The agency covers a vast territory. In comparison, we humans cover a much reduced area. Thus, our responsibility inevitably goes up."
Millie knew what she was doing and how she got there. Even so, as she checked into the academy's dorm, she felt as if she were having a lucid dream. She knew beforehand what would happen, so she was supposed to have no worries.
"Was it true, though? If so, when exactly did I learn my own fate?"
While she unpacked her suitcase in her newly assigned dorm room, the doorbell rang, heralding the arrival of her first visitor. When she answered the door, a stout man towered over her.
"Nice to meet you, Millie." The man extended his hand. "I'm Jay. I'm going to be your instructor until you graduate," he added.
As Millie straightened up, A serene smile formed around his mouth. New trainees arrived every season. The duration of their stay wasn't predetermined. They graduated when they earned their grades. When one trainee graduated, someone new took their spot.
"You're the only new addition," Jay said. "But the others will welcome you with open arms. Don't be shy. Feel free to talk to them."
That turned out to be true. While the trainees came from quite diverse backgrounds, everyone treated her with respect. In the first weeks, she went through training to acclimate herself to her new environment. It took some trainees several months to make a transition from the old life and the new life. At first, Millie learned how memory worked. The trainees were initially equipped with basic knowledge about this world. At the same time, they retained memories of the past.
"You'll feel strange at first," Jay said.
"It feels odd to remember something you've never experienced, but you'll get used to it. You need to get a good grasp of two contradictory cultures in order to do well once you graduate. Don't worry for now."
Millie nodded.
She knew what her instructor meant. At times, she did feel as if she were someone else, as if she were dreaming. Everything, the academy, the instructors, and her fellow trainees, seemed unreal.
"Consider yourself lucky, Millie," Jay said. "Your new life won't be much different from what you were used to. You may not understand this right now, but you have advantage over your fellow trainees."
All the trainees looked calm and composed. That was because they knew why they were here. Even so, many of them might be hiding their worries.
"Don't worry," Jay continued. "What you're feeling is normal. I myself went through the same thing once."
Millie nodded, even though she wasn't convinced. But she dropped the subject. She felt her self-control was being tested. The seasons turned to spring. After a long winter, the world came alive. Numerous flowers adorned the valley. The trees blossomed for a brief period. How did she end up here? When her training neared its end, she noticed a void between the two clusters of memories. She only remembered her old life back home and her new life at the academy. What happened between the two?
"In order to spare you from unnecessary psychological burdens, we've erased a part of your memory," Jay said. "The void serves a purpose. We'll consider your request if you want to know what's missing."
She wanted to know.
"We can only reveal the missing part of your memory," Jay added. "But you can't get it back. Please understand that."
She nodded.
"What do you remember before the void?" Jay asked.
"I lived with my parents in a lively town," Millie answered. "I went to work every morning. I took a box-shaped car to a meeting point and changed to a larger vehicle to get to my office. My life was busy and noisy. Except for small changes, I repeated the same routine every day."
It was only recently that she began her new life. Yet details about her old life escaped her. She didn't remember what exactly she did for a living. Her old life now seemed as far away as her childhood. The seasons changed differently back home. The spring came and went, the hot summer set in, and the autumn gave way to the winter. Then the snow thawed, and the seasons repeated themselves.
"Then comes the void?" Jay asked.
"Yes, my memories abruptly end there."
"When we recruited you, we erased 5 years of your memory. In other words, 5 years' worth."
She remained silent.
"During those 5 years, a sign of discord sprouted in your town. It escalated to bloodshed, caused mayhem,
and snowballed into a full-scale civil war.
I had no idea, she gasped. There was no such sign.
Those signs are often invisible to most people, Jay said. So it's no surprise you didn't see it coming. A fire sprouts out of nowhere and spreads silently. Once it gets out of control, there's no way to put it out until everything burns down. Sad, but that's how it is.
Did I?
A fire caused by a mob swallowed the whole town, Jay interrupted her. Many people died under siege.
Did I make it out alive?
If you managed that, you wouldn't be here.
Did I die in the fire?
Millie asked. That's right.
What happened to my family?
We don't know for sure, Jay continued. But many perished in the fire. Your folks most likely among the victims. He added matter-of-factly. None of us remember how we died. Before the trainees arrived at the academy, they lost their old memories. They woke in their reanimated bodies with new memories. Our recruiting team seeks human resources and who've fallen in natural disasters and armed conflicts.
Why was I chosen? Millie asked. Why only me?
I can't tell you that, Jay answered, a wry smile on his lips. If you're assigned to the team, you'll find out.
Millie frowned. When did all this happen?
She asked, feeling at a loss.
How far am I from my hometown?
While you're here, distance and time don't matter, Jay answered. Even if you travel physically, you won't find anything there. Time-wise, you're approximately 200,000 years away.
200,000 years? That doesn't mean anything to me.
As far as the agency is concerned, it's a small gap, Jay continued. But it's a huge one for humans. You should consider here another world. You're leading a new life.
Millie grimaced for a moment, but she felt calm.
The valley stood between her old life and her new life. Her imagination failed to fill the gap between the two. Then she had no choice but to forget about the gap. As Millie threw herself into her training, she thought less and less about her past. Her instructor commended her insight. The founder who established the agency will be born in a faraway future, Jay said, pointing to a cylindrical-shaped diagram. Roughly 50 million years away in the future.
Millie frowned. Is it accurate?
Unfortunately, we can't verify it, but it's not the agency's job to discuss its validity, Jay continued. It's so far away in the future that the number doesn't matter. We can't know such a world.
Is the founder a human being?
Millie wondered aloud.
What do they look like?
You won't get to meet them, Jay said. Don't worry about it.
What kind of civilization is it?
We haven't got enough knowledge to solve this mystery, Jay answered. We don't know how their society differs from our society. We're not supposed to find out about it. The Academy is not a research institution. We should curtail our private curiosity.
Am I supposed to follow orders blindly, without knowing anything?
It's the founder who saved you from death, Jay said. Our mission begins with following them. It's important that you don't negate your new life.
The founder created a way to traverse through time, right?
Millie asked. Yes. At the same time, they created a means to control time, Jay answered. The control points are scattered from 300 million years in the past to 50 million years in the future. Jay drew another diagram in the air. The area divided into rectangles gradually appeared.
This is the area we control, isn't it? Millie asked. What does this mean?
The range is determined by a threshold, Jay answered.
Threshold?
First, the Founder investigated whether or not intelligent life existed in order to control time, Jay continued. They made a function to evaluate intelligence. If we get a value above a certain level for a certain period of time, we can conclude that intelligent life exists.
What do you mean by scattered?
Jay pointed at glowing points across the area. They aren't connected. The range is limited. Even intelligent life can't live forever. Each is born inside a window and perishes. The window indicates the duration intelligent life exists. The Founder has extracted windows that existed in the history of this planet.
There are so many of them harboring intelligent life, Millie said.
I didn't know there were so many. I thought ours was the only one. Not just in the future, but in the past as well.
But what does intelligent life have to do with time control?
The Founder believes all intelligent life should control its local time, Jay said. That's why this academy came into existence. We humans control our own time.
Will we have a chance to meet another intelligent life form?
No. Jay shook his head. Humans will never be sent to someone else's window.
Why?
Different windows have little in common, Jay answered. The Founder believes we shouldn't interact with other intelligent life forms. Such encounters would cause mutual interference and would lead to an armed conflict.
Why do such boundaries exist? Millie wondered.
She used to think their mission was limitless. She faced the first wall. At first, Jay had some reservations about Millie, but he had come to expect great things from her. Her region tended to produce arrogant trainees. Many didn't get along with their classmates and rebelled against their instructors. They were too self-righteous to serve as officials. Unfortunately, some of them failed to graduate. Only those with aptitudes were dispatched to control time. Be mindful of the fact that the birth of civilization isn't inevitable, Jay explained. Life forms with certain capacities gain a chance to develop civilization under certain conditions. They make tools, use fire, wear clothing, and live indoors. This is the beginning of civilization. But at times, it fades away. All is coincidental.
It sounds as if civilization itself is accidental, Millie said.
Many intelligent life forms fail to develop civilization.
Then some intelligent life forms in the windows fail to develop civilization, Millie said.
Yes, civilizations are precious, Jay said. But they are partially contrarian. He looked around the classroom. Millie sat in a chair in the middle of the room, and Jay stood behind the lectern.
It may not be entirely accurate to say time fluctuates, Jay said. Lifeform's activities do fluctuate. The Founders set up boundaries in order to control such unstable time.
Most lectures were one-on-one. Training was personalized for each trainee. As trainees represented geographic age and gender diversity, it was difficult to train them through uniformed curriculum. The model line was built starting from 50 million years in the future to the past, Jay explained. The main body is a device designed to record time. Everything is recorded, so enormous data is coded and compressed. If time fluctuates, those who travel backward in time can't return to their own world. The model line fluctuations work as a milepost for time travelers.
Like a landmark, Millie nodded.
Yes, but the milepost and the event have to match. If they don't, time fluctuates.
Are we supposed to detect fluctuations? Millie asked.
We would be too late, Jay answered. We need to correct any deviations before unmatched cases occur.
That's what I mean by controlling fluctuations. We need to intervene to correct fluctuations.
What happens to the model line if fluctuations occur?
If the future is altered, the model line itself is severed, Jay answered. Before the agency was founded, those who traveled backward in time weren't able to come back. If you move through unstable time, everything will inevitably be irreversible, a one-way street.
You say our mission is to correct the fluctuations, Millie said. Is it possible, though? They may occur naturally.
It takes an enormous amount of energy to control naturally occurring events, Jay answered. But events caused physically are less likely to fluctuate. Rather, we should be concerned about fluctuations caused by life forms. Especially, intelligent life forms' activities should be corrected.
That's why we focus on the windows where intelligent life forms exit.
That's correct, Jay nodded. The model line begins at 50 million years in the future and ends 300 million years in the past. The model is an aggregation of recorded events. The agency regularly calculates fluctuations against the records and gives detailed instructions on how to correct them.
How are the records selected? Millie asked.
They aren't selected. Recording starts automatically.
Does that mean the model line is based on what happens to be recorded? Is it just coincidental? Millie wondered aloud.
Yes, Jay answered. That's why it's fair.
Millie landed on a street. Nothing seemed to have changed. Passersby made haste. On the main road, an automatic carrier ran through narrow gaps between cars.
Where am I? She wondered.
Millie looked up at a sign and checked her location.
It doesn't matter where I am. I'll just follow the instructions.
Her destination was along the sidewalk. She joined the flow of pedestrians, walked for a while, and left behind a row of buildings until a square facing a park came into view. Behind the trees stood the concert hall. Many seemed to head for the building. Most of them were young people. Alone or in groups, they seemed to be enjoying themselves. A line of people waiting for a concert to start surrounded the building. Millie passed through the front gate and headed for the side entrance. Guards stood before the entrance. No one went in and no one came out. Those who organized the event were already inside. A small bus arrived. Men in black jumpsuits were inside the vehicle. They made quite a contrast to the concertgoers at the front entrance. Further behind the bus, Millie saw a police car. Millie stepped on the road and waved her hands. A police officer rolled down the window.
"What are you doing?" the officer yelled.
Millie pointed to the bus. The men inside had guns. The police car happened to pass by. If Millie hadn't intervened, the men on the bus might have occupied the hall and taken the concertgoers hostage. If they had taken hostages, more lives might have been saved. But as the police tried to stop the bus, the men opened fire. A few police officers got shot and fell. The men got off the bus and ran toward the front entrance. Hearing the shots, the crowd panicked. With their path blocked, the men fired randomly. Automatic rifles fired into the crowd, mowing down a few hundreds. By the time the police officers had shot all the gunmen to death, the square had become bathed in blood. This was what was supposed to happen, according to the model line. Without Millie's intervention, the correct version of the event wouldn't have occurred. The model line recorded time in round slices. An infinite number of small deviations occurred, but they were ignored as long as they wouldn't damage the model line. Whether or not the event was corrected wasn't proportional to its significance.
Even so, intentional erasure of a major incident would get flagged. Accidents were guaranteed to happen. Major disasters were bound to happen, even if there was a way to prevent them. When Millie landed there, she had realized she was at the place that belonged to the 5-year void in her memory. It wasn't her hometown, but an unfamiliar capital city. Even so, some street names were familiar to her. In other words, the Millie from the past existed there. Millie waited at a residential facility in the city. She recalled her old life. Instructions came to her at random intervals. At times, she worked with other agents, but each was given a predetermined role. All the instructions had effects of expanding the ongoing conflict. As she moved from one assignment to the other, she questioned the existence of the agency. The model line guarded by the agency was merely a passage that connected 50 million years in the future and the past. What was on the path didn't matter. Non-human entities just passed through it. Millie completed her missions without showing any emotions. Even so, doubt clouded her mind. "Is the model line worth protecting?" she wondered. "Am I supposed to let the victims die? Am I not supposed to save their lives?" The window humans were assigned to was 1 million years long. There, she met several people from her hometown. While Jay was blonde and blue-eyed, the physical characteristics of his tribe differed from one region to another. They had sharply chiseled features, their foreheads bulging above their brows. Lenny's features resembled Jay's, but in height, he reached only to his chest. Millie's tribe members were of middle height and had prominent jaws. 1,500,000 years ago, they diverted into various tribes. Once they got used to each other, they paid little attention to the physical differences. Only Millie's tribe had built what could be called civilization. But other tribes also possessed intelligence. Whether or not a tribe developed civilization was coincidental. The founder established the academy and granted every human being the ability to become an agent. The enhanced knowledge originated in Millie's civilization. That was partly because most of the control points were from there. Humans came from numerous societies that had parallelly developed. It was impossible to tell which one was more evolved than the others. Winter returned to the academy again. It didn't snow in the valley. The dry, cold wind blew constantly. The air didn't become moist until spring. Jay asked Lenny about Millie, who completed her training a year ago.
"Maybe the mission was too much for her team," Lenny mumbled. "They've had too many accidents."
"Too bad. They've got a lot of work there," Lenny said. "Naturally, a large number of accidents occur in a densely populated area."
"Number," Jay said. "We've asked too much of them."
"I wish we could send them reinforcements, but we can't get involved at the end stage of the window."
After training, the agents were sent back to their hometowns. There, they became members of society and monitor fluctuations. Although their hometowns were different from the agency, they were trained to adjust themselves to the environment. But Millie's tribe was numerous. They were more populous than all the humans who lived for 1 million years. Millie went missing. Even though she accidentally lost sight of the model line, she couldn't go back to her time. No one would be sent to rescue her. She was the same as dead. The area Millie was assigned to was plagued with complex fluctuations. The agency had sent more agents to the area. The world was strewn with humans. Humans made the fluctuations worse.
Jay stepped into the communications room to talk to the founder. He didn't tell his trainees that he had direct access to the founder. Only a few instructors were allowed to be in their presence. "What did Millie do?" Jay asked through a transmitter. The founder had no human name.
"She interfered with the event she was assigned to and caused a deviation,"
the founder answered.
"Needless to say, an agent is not authorized to interfere without specific instructions. What she did didn't make things better,"
the founder continued.
"Even with our technology, she can't modify the timeline at will. If an agent alters an event randomly, only a random result occurs. They must have received significant training, but they didn't understand the essentials. What a shame."
"What happened to the timeline?" Jay asked.
"If an agent is lost for inappropriate interference, an auspice appears retrospectively,"
the founder answered.
"Her replacement will work to repair the damage. The agent repeatedly intervenes until the event is aligned with the model line. The agent is consumed every time. Fluctuations have been uncertain. We don't even know when they occur. More agents have been consumed lately. We can't know the results of a deviation,"
the founder continued.
"We can't observe it. Although it's not commonly known, time doesn't virtually exist outside the model line."
The founder refused to give an explanation.
"They must have known the truth," Jay wondered.
Even so, Jay always failed to read the founder's facial expressions. Their jet-black eyes flashed with intelligence, but their mind was inscrutable. They had an elongated skull, a long face, a big nose, and small ears.
"I shouldn't have asked. My apologies," Jay said.
"There's no way around it," the founder said. "Even though we know the agents fail often, we have to rely on them. I wish you could do it, though."
"But that's only hypothetical."
"If peace-loving people like you were in charge, things might have turned out differently."
Jay once did research on his tribe. He couldn't find any record of genocide, only small conflicts over territories. His tribe died out quietly after tens of thousands of years without fully developing a civilization. After their competitors were gone, Millie's tribe multiplied at a frenzied pace. If Jay's tribe had survived, they might have helped maintain demographic balance and made peaceful coexistence possible. If that had happened, the founder wouldn't have made the agency. The founder once explained the history of life.
"Life forms have gone through approximately 12 mass extinctions since 300 million years ago. Each time, 60 to 90% of the species became extinct, leaving the earth and the sea empty. Several factors played a part: large-scale volcanic eruptions, drastic climate change, and meteorite crashes were among them. Natural disasters were impossible to avoid. Each calamity reset the ecosystem. Even the dominant species would be wiped out in the blink of an eye. In addition, living creatures once caused extinction,"
the founder continued.
"It was the so-called Great War of Extinction, and turned the earth into a sea of fire. The radioactive clouds hovering over the earth contained enormous power. As you know, humans were responsible."
20 million years later, except for plants and insects, living creatures hadn't returned to the valley. Still, small animals crawled somewhere on the earth. Ironically, the founder established the agency to revive humans who destroyed the world and built the agency to control time.
"Listen, Jay. You exist to protect the Great War, the Founder said. The model line is for maintaining the retrogression of time. But that's not the only purpose. That's because we need the Great Extinction as a trigger to come into existence. After almost all species were decimated, small mammals were left. They conquered the Earth, evolved into various forms, and gave birth to us. It took a long time after the war, but the war was what triggered our birth. Without the war caused by humans, we wouldn't be here. The Agency's most important mission is to make sure the war happens. Humans became extinct because of their own fault. You should consider yourself fortunate to work on this mission instead of being punished.
There were numerous windows along the model line, but most of them weren't monitored. What really mattered were all the windows the Academy controlled. The Academy trained agents whose mission was to assure humanity's extinction, or rather to keep anyone from preventing it. After humanity went extinct, the Earth remained barren for 10 million years. Other life forms sprouted forth and eventually filled the Earth and the sea. Another 4 million years passed before new intelligent life forms came into being. It was a colossal waste of time. Yet, it was necessary. Jay, too, had seen the Founder's ancestors. In his mind's eye, rodent-like animals, small enough to fit in the palms of his hands, scurried across the plain with their tails wiggling. Their whiskered muzzles twitching, they bit off everything they could with fierce fangs. Toshiya Okamoto was born in Hyogo and now lives in Kyoto. He has been active in the science fiction community since 1973 when he joined the Science Fiction Society at Kobe University. He has reviewed science fiction for various publications such as S.F. Hoseki, 1979 to 1981, and S.F. Adventure, 1979 to 1992. Since 2015, he has published short fiction in Cha-Cha Young Short Short Magazine and Theta Online. His latest short story collection, Neko no O, was published in 2020. Translated by Toshiya Kame, Time Academy previously appeared in Lockdown Sci-Fi. Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that story. I find it really interesting to think what had to happen in history for the human race to actually come into being. Obviously, one of the big ones was probably the asteroid that killed off the dinosaurs, but we've had multiple mass extinctions, and if any one of those hadn't occurred, I kind of wonder, would we even be here? Anyway, I hope you guys liked the story. If you did, be sure to leave a thumbs up or a comment if you're on YouTube or Facebook. And if you're listening to the podcast, I can always use more reviews over on Apple Podcasts. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.